Blog Talk Radio.
We come this far by faith. Pick up your pace and don't you be late. I'm here to tell you about the good news. There's something about the path that makes you sure. Wisdom has built this house now. Integrity will bring your pride out. If you know how to pray the situation out. Folks together for some church, y'all. Some good music and prayer and service won't hurt y'all.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise thee, the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye, the Lord and Jesus. And praise God for being here on today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is our live radio broadcast on Saturday, and if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but because if you're hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living, and we praise God. Amen. And that is a reason to give God praise, because the Bible does say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We praise God for also being on Facebook Live. Amen. We praise God for this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning or afternoon, wherever you might stay. Amen. Over the airways, in Jesus' name, we praise God for each and every one on today. Amen. On today, we have a very, very phenomenal topic on today. I sort of dealt with it. If you've been following me on Facebook, the Lord has had me pray every day, Monday through Friday, every day, Monday through Friday, until the Lord says for me to stop, in Jesus' name. And the Lord gave me something about the life of a Christian and what a Christian looks like and what a Christian is. He also dealt with me about the gospel. We have two words here, and in the title of this topic or this episode or whatever you want to call it is a Christian of the gospel. A Christian of the gospel. This is the Christian person that lives his or her life underneath godly principles. Now, what we're going to look at today is two things. What the godly definition of what a Christian is, and the godly definition of what the gospel is. Because hey, in today's society, in today's church era, we know we are living in the church era of the Laodicean era. And in this Laodicean church age, we have a lot of falseness in the church. We have a lot of false preaching and teaching. of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of falseness of what being a Christian is. We have so many people saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in God. Well, we're going to look at what being a Christian is, and we're going to look at what the gospel is. All right. So first off, before we can go into what being a Christian is, we have to look at what is the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel? Well, the definition of gospel in the natural, it is the teaching or revelation of Christ and the record of Jesus's life. Now, in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual definition, this is a representation. This is not only the representation, but it is the anointed story. It is the anointed story and an anointed instruction of God. I'm going to say it again. The gospel is an anointed story and an anointed instruction of the word. He is his word. It is the history of the word of God. That is the gospel. The history. His history. History. Amen. If we look at the word history, we see H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. If you break that word history, it is his. His story. Amen. His story. Amen. And it is his story that we are talking about. Amen. If we look at the word gospel, and in the biblical definition, it is the anointed story of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is holy. Amen. It is the anointed. He is anointed. Amen. And he anointed us. Amen. It defines who God is. He is his word. Amen. He is what he says he is. Amen. Now, let's look at what Christian is. The Christian in the definition of a Christian in the natural sense is a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. Now, what is Christian? What is the definition in the spiritual, the word Christian? What is it in the spiritual? The word Christian in the spiritual definition is the lifestyle or an ambassador to Christ. You are the representation of Christ. That's why everybody cannot say that they are a what? Christian. Everybody cannot claim the representation of Christ until you have been filled with his spirit to be able to be an ambassador or representation of Christ. Amen. Just like Jesus. Jesus was the representation of what a Christian should be. He lived the life of a Christian. Now, when I say an ambassador of Christ, that's not you being with Christ. That's not saying you're on the same level as Christ, but you are trying to be like Christ. Christian is the definition of Christian in another spiritual term is Christ-like. Amen. And this is what we have to be like. This is how we have to live out. The way we live Christian lifestyle is to live out the gospel, the word of God that has been put in us. The word of God has been placed in us when we receive the Holy Ghost. It's his spirit. It's him. Amen. If we look, we have so many false preachers telling us about what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. And God has warned us about this. God has warned us. God has warned us throughout the scriptures to warn us about false teachers, false preachers, false evangelism. Amen. I hear some people say, well, I don't believe in Christ because, or I don't believe in that stuff because it's a cult. Well, first of all, being a Christian is not a cult. And I'm going to tell you why. And it's not a religion either. This is what the Lord has given to me. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a cult. The reason being is because these two words, cult and religion, I'm going to break them down. The word cult is somebody, is something that is forced upon a person. Amen? When you read the Bible and you go throughout the Word of God, God has never forced anybody to serve him. Never. That's why the Word of God and the representation or the ambassadorship of Christ or being a Christian is not a cult, because it's not forced. You have a choice. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said present. He didn't say you got to come. He said present. A cult-like mentality is forced. Basically, what a cult-like mentality is, it's witchcraft. It is. It's witchcraft. Because of the mindset of it, you're trying to change somebody's mind into forming their mind into what you want them to do. You're forcing it. You're forcing it. And there are so many people that are out there in the world and in the church too, because there's some so-called church goers that try to beat people with the word. That's why you can't beat people with the word. You can't force you, because there's one that planteth, there's one that waters, but God gives the increase. We can't be saved unless the Lord draws us. The Bible and the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, you never see God forcing himself or forcing his spirit upon somebody. Amen? That's why it's not a cult, because he's not forcing himself. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of force cultism. I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm going to give you some examples of people. We even see it right now. Right now.
I just didn't want it to make
Vladimir Putin like mentality. And I say it all day. Vladimir Putin has a cult like mentality. We see it in what's going on with Russia, in this crisis that's going on in Ukraine. Hitler had a cult like mentality. Amen. These are just two examples of a cult-like mentality. Now, when we deal with religion, as people say, I'm not religious. I'm not religious either. I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. I have salvation. I don't have religion. Religion is a thing that you do repetitiously. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has anything to do with the church. It doesn't. Religion is something that you do repetition, regardless if you're getting anything out of it or not. Example, you go to church because your mama it goes to church. Or because your daddy was a pastor or whatever. That's religion. If you're going out of repetition, are you going out of just because it's Sunday, I got to get up and go to church? And you're going, but you're not getting anything out of it. That's religion. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had religion. They did. Amen? And that's not a Christian lifestyle. The Christian lifestyle that God has set for us, that God wants us to live, is found in holiness. It's found in holiness. It is. Amen? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And this lets us know, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, I believe. Yes. Verses 6 through 8. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ, would pervert the gospel of Christ. But thou, we, or any, or an angel from heaven, any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, what is this saying to us? There are going to be people. God is warning us in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that there will be false teachers, false preachers that will come in and teach false doctrine, that will add stuff to it, that will take stuff out. We see it. We see it. We see it all the time. And I'm not bashing anybody's religion. You can believe what you want to believe. It doesn't matter. I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. Amen. If we look at the many different religions, the Muslim religion, the Mormon religion, the Catholic religion, these different religions all have a different mindset on what the gospel is. But stuff has been taken out, stuff has been added, and we see that. We see that. But God has warned us. God has warned us. Many will say that they are Christians and preach of the gospel, but they are not. They'll say that they're Christians, and they'll preach the gospel, and they say that they're preachers of the gospel, but they're not. They're really not the preachers of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. God is warning us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Let's go there real quick, and let's see what Matthew has to say. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 5. As we said, many will say they are Christians and preachers of the gospel, but they are not. How do we know? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, it reads, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." This is the falseness. We have so many people in the church deceiving folk. We have so many preachers deceiving folks. Because when you sit there and say, it don't take all that, when you say, once saved, always saved, when you just preaching prosperity messages all the time, you ain't preaching salvation, there's something wrong. You're only preaching for the membership. You're only preaching for the money. You're only, no. No, hear me today. This is not the gospel. This is the perversion of the gospel. But look, those that are preaching and teaching non-truthful things, about saying it's the gospel, guess what? You got a judgment coming. I'm here to tell you, you have a judgment coming your way. Because we read it in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. We read, if an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. Which Satan did. That's why one-third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. That's what happened. They were kicked out of heaven. Why? Because they followed Satan. And just like Satan was kicked out and one-third of the angels were kicked out, those that preach falseness, you will lose out on the true salvation of God if you keep preaching the way you're preaching, if you keep teaching the way you're teaching. It's holiness. It's holiness all the way. It's holiness, it's righteousness, and it's salvation all the way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, this is another scripture that lets us know that, hey, God ain't playing. God is warning us about these false preachers and false teachers. Let's read that real quick. This is what false teachers and false preachers will look like. It gives us a representation of what they look like. It gives us a representation of what false teaching and false preaching looks like. The human form of it. Amen. Let's read that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. The Lord is warning us, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Kick against the pricks. You're denying the power thereof. What do you mean against the pricks? I mean, when the Lord tells you to teach it this way, but you choose to teach it the other way, you're kicking against the pricks. You're denying the power thereof. You're walking in your own way. And at the end of that verse, it's letting us know, the Bible is telling us to turn from such, turn away. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. What is the power? The Holy Ghost. They're quenching the spirit of the Holy Ghost, if they even have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. Because just because you're a preacher don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Because gifts and callings come without repentance. Amen. Gifts and callings come without repentance. Let's go to Jude. The book of Jude. Well, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. But Jude, verse 4. Jude, verse number 4. This is another thing from the Lord telling us about the false teachers and the false preachers. Letting us know what being a Christian doesn't look like. It's the opposite of what being a Christian is. It's the opposite of what living in the gospel is. Amen? It's the opposite. And I love the Lord. Before first, I love the Lord because not only does he give us a representation of what he wants us to be, but he gives us a representation of what we shouldn't be. He lets us see with our own eyes what the Spirit looks like and what the Spirit doesn't look like. Amen. And he lets us know what it looks like when ungodliness tries to come in. He lets us know every nook and cranny of Satan's devices. Let's read verse number four of Jude 1 and 4. Let's read that. For there are certain men crept in unaware. Amen. There are certain men crept in unaware who were before of the old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It said there are certain men crept in unaware. What do you mean certain men? They done came in with these spirits. They done came in with their stuff. They done came in with their slop gut, and they done put it all in the church. That's why it's not good for us to listen to every wind and doctrine. That's why it's not good for pastors to let anybody preach in the pulpit. Because you don't know what, but yet we allow people to sing in the church. We allow people to preach in the church, and knowing full well that they got spirits on them. And I'm not talking about godly spirits either. But we got people with spirits that we got people that are jealous of people, and we got them up there in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Throwing off on people while they so-called preaching. Trying to tell somebody off during testimony service. Amen. Trying to tell the pastor off. Uh-oh. Well, pastor didn't let me preach, so I'm going to go ahead and tell my testimony. I'm a show pastor. I know how to preach. Uh-oh. And some of these pastors, because they want the money or they want the fame and the fortune, they're just letting anybody come in from any wind and doctrine, come in and preach in their pulpit, whether they be – hold on. Let me say this. Let me put up this disclaimer right now. Denomination does not mean anything to me. If you're preaching the truth, which is the apostles' doctrine, if you're preaching Acts 2 and 38, and if you're preaching holiness, not taking anything out, not adding anything to, I'm with you. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what denomination you are. I ain't even going to say religion. I don't care what denomination you are. You can be Baptist. If you preach in Acts 2 and 38 and you preach in holiness and you preach in truth, I'm with you. But if you preach in once saved, always saved, and I'm not perfect, and no, you will not. And it makes me spiritually angry because you're perverting the gospel. And saints of God, we should be mad about the perversion of the gospel. We shouldn't have that many itching ears because we should be angry enough, spiritually angry, not naturally angry, but spiritually angry enough to want to do something about this. But we just letting it sit. We just letting them just, we,
we just look in all eye. I don't mind it. Like we don't know what's going on when we see it right in front of our face. We've seen it right in front of our face, but yet we don't say nothing. We don't do nothing about it. We don't speak about it. We don't tell nobody about it. What are we doing? What are we leaving the next generation when we do this type of stuff? What are we, the young people, the middle-aged folk, what the new babes in Christ, the sinners, what do they have to look forward to if we're not saying what we need to say? God has given us the spirit. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And we act like we don't even have a sound mind because we just letting anything go. What is wrong? What is wrong? What is going on? We letting anything and everything go in the church. We letting people live any kind of way they want to live. We letting people dress any way they want to dress. Now, it's up to you if you want to be saved or not. It's up to you. I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. I have no heaven, no hell to put nobody in. But if the Lord has told you to tell somebody about how to live holy, you need to do so. And preaching false doctrine, woe unto you. The Bible says woe unto you. Woe unto the people that scattereth my sheep. And that don't mean they going to, that don't just mean that they going to other people's churches. That don't mean that. They could be scattered in the spirit and be sitting right there in the church. Uh-oh. They could be sitting right there in the seat and still be lost. That's what that means. Woe unto them that scattereth my sheep. Amen. If you are scattering the flock of God, you are in trouble. Whether you be preacher, pastor, bishop, evangelist, deacon, whoever, if you are preaching falseness, you are scattering the sheep of God, and God is not pleased with it. And you are held accountable for every single soul. I don't care if you're not a minister and you live in any kind of way and you live in any kind of way in front of these sinners and babies, you're going to be held accountable. The blood is on your hands. The blood is on your hands. The blood will be on our hands. And it ain't right. It's not right. Amen. There's another scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, these are the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. And it reads, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What are fables? Lies. What are fables? Fables are lies. False doctrine. That's what it is. They're going to be turned to fables. They're going to be turned to lies. And it ain't right. It's not right. All because the preacher said it's okay for me to continue to, I can go and have sex and still be saved. Uh-uh. No. I can still smoke my smoke and do my drugs and still be saved. Uh-uh. No. I can still gamble and still be saved. Uh-uh. You are not supposed to be at the casino. Uh-oh. Well, it don't say nothing about gambling in the Bible. Yes, it does. It sure does. It does. What do you think casting lots are? They cast lots for Jesus' garments. What do you think that is? You ain't supposed to be. You are the representation. You are supposed to be the the reason why men and women are on this earth is to be the representation or the ambassadors of Christ, to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus did. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. We just read that. Amen. The Lord has let us know what to look for in the false people of God, or the false ain'ts. Amen. I'm just gonna call them. If you ain't living holy, you ain't. And I'm just putting it bluntly, because I mean that's what a person is. You're not a saint if you're living any kind of way. A saint of God is going to live holy. A saint of God is going to live righteously. A saint of God is going to live correctly. Amen. At least try to live holy. At least try to live correct. Because we got some people that just living in kind of way, and they know that they're living in sin, and they still living in sin. They know they need to get it right, but they still want to live in sin. That's it. And they don't care. But just because you don't care, like Satan don't care, Satan does not care about us, nor you, nor anybody else. The only thing he cares about is hurting God. That's all he cares about. That's it. That's all he cares about is hurting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way he hurts, the best way he knows how to hurt Jesus Christ is to come after you, to come after me, and to come after mankind. That's the way he hurts God. Amen. And he don't care if you man, woman, boy, or girl, saint or sinner. He gonna try to come after you to hurt God. That's the way it is. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15, he gives us an outlook on the false teachers and preachers and what they look like. What to look for in false preachers and teachers. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Amen. I'm enjoying. I mean, I love the Word of God. I appreciate the Word of God, because it gives you an outlook on life. It helps you live life. Amen. Amen. And man, this is something. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Amen. And it reads, "For such are false apostles, devious works, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Now, this verse is letting us know false apostles, deceivous works, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, which means they were not the apostles of Christ from the very beginning. Their mindset was not transformed, as it states in Romans 12, verse number 2. Verse number 2 of Romans chapter, it says, "And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind." Their mind is not transformed. Their mind was never transformed already. They still had a stony heart in them. Amen. Now let's read verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is what Jesus is saying to us is, just like that false apostle tries to transform himself into a godly apostle, try to make it seem like he's a godly apostle, Satan does the same thing. He tries to transform himself into an angel of light, which means he tries to make sin look pleasing, like it's godly. False doctrine. Are you all right? It's okay for you to go to the nightclub. It's okay. No, it's not. God will forgive you. You're covered by grace. You're covered by grace. The Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Must we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid. Let's read verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. This is the ministers are going to be accounted for their works. Whatever your mindset was in why you're getting in the ministry, that's what you're going to be accounted for. We got preachers and teachers and pastors and stuff and evangelists and stuff getting in the ministry because they looking at the money. They see the big time ministers. That's why I don't want I do not watch, and y'all can watch the TV ministers if y'all want to. I'm y'all can do whatever. But me, I do not watch the TV ministers. I don't. Because number one, most of the time they're preaching false stuff or they're preaching prosperity messages all the time. And I ain't got no time to be picking no bones out of a spiritual meal. I don't even like picking bones out of my natural meals, none less my spiritual meals. What do you mean by picking the bones out? I got to pick out what's true and what's false out of that message. I ain't got time. Give me the word. Give me something that's going to spiritually nourish me. Give me the whole roll. When I'm hungry, when I'm spiritually hungry, give me the word. Give me something that I can live off of. Don't give me something watered down. Give me something with some substance. Something that's going to sustain me. Something that's going to help me, give me strength in the battle that I'm fighting. Don't give me that false stuff. I don't want that false mess. A lot of added preservatives and stuff. No, don't give me that spiritual added preservative stuff. I don't need that stuff. I want the real thing. Amen. As my former pastor used to say, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Pastor Dorothy McGordon, she used to say that all the time. Keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is being a Christian. The main thing is being in the gospel, living out the gospel. Amen. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Living out the gospel. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. This is another scripture of us looking at what a false teacher or a false preacher or a false witness or a false whoever calling themselves saved but really not walking in holiness is. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. And this is a warning. This is a warning from the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is Jesus speaking, literally speaking to us. And it reads, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but in inwardly They are ravishing wolves, which means he's telling us to beware of the false prophets that come in sheep's clothing, which means they have an appearance of holiness. They appear to be holy, but they're really not holy. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's why everybody can claim being a what? Christian. A Christian is a person that has a representation or an ambassadorship of a lifestyle of Christ. That is what a Christian is. Everybody's saying that they are Christian. If you do not have his spirit, you cannot claim being a Christian. You can't even live out the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't, because you don't have any power. You cannot do it. Amen. The Lord has told us what a Christian of the gospel looks like. And he showed us. I have three scriptures where the Lord has showed us. Acts 1 and 8, we all know what Acts 1 and 8 says. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have what? Power. Amen. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria, and in Samaria and into Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. Amen. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost, because that is what, that right there is what gets us to be able to be Christ-like, to be able to claim the ambassadorship of Christian, or the representation, to be able to claim that representation. Amen. This is what the representation, this is what being a Christian, it is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. Amen. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. This is a very, very important verses unto us, because this verse, or these verses unto us are very, very important, because it helps us know what a Christian looks like. Amen. It shows us what a Christian looks like. Amen. And if we were to go there, which I'm getting ready to go there right now, and we're going to look at it, because I want you to see it for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. All right. We're going to start at verse number 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Amen. Verse number 2. "Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Which means this spirit is already on the earth. This spirit of Antichrist is on the earth. Amen. It's already on the earth. We see it. We see people denouncing Christ. We see people, spirits that are not right on the earth now. Amen. We see it. Amen. And we also verse number 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean? His spirit on the inside of us is greater than anything in this world. Amen. Verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. In verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. This is what this is saying to us. Now, I want to take you in these last couple of minutes, I want to take you to the book of Romans. I want to take you to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 9, because it gives us a representation of what Christ did for us. Amen. The way, this is a Christian lifestyle right here. This is it. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. For what the law could not do, in that is what weak through the flesh, was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after. This is the godly lifestyle. This is the Christianism, or the Christianity that we claim. This is what God did. He was the example. Verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do not mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Which means, if your mind is your mind is in a worldly mindset, your mind is going to be portrayed on the things of the world. If your mind is on a spiritual mindset, your mind is going to be portrayed of the things of the spirit. Amen. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Verse number 7, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Amen. A sinful mindset is not subject to the laws of God. Can't be, because it doesn't have a godly mindset. Now, if you call yourself being a godly person, then you're underneath the laws of God, and you're held accountable. That's why a person that does not know cannot be held accountable for what they do not know. Amen. Amen. Let's go in. There are 4 scriptures in the book of John that I want to bring out to you in this godly, in this Christian lifestyle, to fulfill the gospel, his record, Jesus' life's record is the gospel, to be the light of the world. Amen. We have this in 4 scriptures in the book of John, and I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to give you these scriptures. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not but have everlasting life. Amen. That is a representation. He sent his son, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. We saw, amen. And then if we look in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verse 14. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the Word, and if we drop down to verse 14, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was that example of the Christian lifestyle. He didn't just come to die, but he came to be the representation of what a Christian should be, of the way we should live our life. Amen. In John 10:10, is that he came to give us life and that more abundantly. He came to fulfill a godly lifestyle so that we might be have an example of a godly lifestyle. So we can fulfill it. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Now let's read that. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. What is the truth? What is the life? The life of holiness, the life of salvation, the life of righteousness. That's the truth. That is the life. He is holiness. And the way we fulfill the gospel, his holy record and his holy stories and the holy instruction that he has given, the way we fulfill that is by being a Christian. And what is the main source of being a Christian? Being holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, be holy for what? I am holy. It is a representation. Being a Christian is being the representation or being an ambassador for Christ. Christian, the definition of Christian in the spiritual is being Christ-like so that you can fulfill the anointed instructions of God. So that you might fulfill the anointed record of Jesus's life. The anointed record. The gospel is the anointed record. So we might be a light so that the world might see the record. The record's in you. The record, the gospel is in you. The record of Jesus Christ is in you. But we must share that light through our life, through our living. Amen. Because if we don't, we're held accountable for it. Amen. So how do we receive this life? How do we receive the Christian lifestyle? How do we receive the gospel in our lives? We got to do 38. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in verse 39 it says, and this promises unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. Amen. This is the only way to receive that ambassadorship or to claim you're a Christian. This is the only way to receive the gospel, to know the true and living, to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't have the gospel without having the life in Jesus' name. And you can't have the life without having his spirit help you in Jesus' name. God bless you. I pray that you got something out of this in Jesus' name. I love you. I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. I thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come once again on this live radio broadcast and everybody that is watching on Facebook. I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you all. And until next week, or until next time, as my grandmother always used to say, if you don't see me again, or in this case, since we're on the radio too, if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you all. I love you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and this is the Spirit Alive Network, where your life can be transformed through the Word of God. In Jesus' name, God bless you all, each and every one of you. Have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. In Jesus' name, go to church. Give God some praise. Even give him some praise right now in Jesus' name. God bless you.